In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today in the Gospel reading, we hear some very important lessons about the Christian life, particularly important as we enter into the fast. We're told that a certain man had two sons, and the fathers tell us that the older brother represents the original path that God had laid out for us, which is the path of righteousness, and the younger son represents that more recent path, the path of the fall, which is also a path of weakness, which is why it's the younger brother. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Nothing that we have is our own. Everything comes from God. And sin is a perversion of the good that God has given us. God owes us nothing, but he gives us our life, he gives us free will, and he allows us to make real choices, even if we choose to turn away from him. But what good sinners experience in this life are good that God has given them. There are many good things. God makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. He gives them rain. He gives them food. We have to recognize where the source of these things are. And then it says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." The fathers tell us that when we're aware of God's presence, we don't sin. If we had that awareness all the time, we would never sin. But we have a difficulty because the devil wants to distract us and take our minds off of God. But if we separate ourselves from God, that's when we're able to sin. When we put him out of our mind, and particularly if we turn our back on God, that's when someone's able to really sink deep into the mire of sin. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." As I said, God is the source of everything that's good, but if we cut ourselves off from him, we begin to feel an emptiness which nothing else can fill. St. Augustine talks about how God has created us with an emptiness in our heart that only God can fill. We're only satisfied when we find our rest in him. And the famine is a famine of hearing God's word. It's a famine of experiencing God's grace. And when we're with God, when we are doing what God asks us to do, we don't experience any want. We're told in the Psalms, "O fear the Lord, all ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." But when we turn our backs on him, we experience that want, and we can never really satisfy it. People try to satisfy that emptiness with all kinds of things, with drugs, with sex, with all kinds of pleasures, but these things only distract them from that emptiness that nags at them and maybe gives them some sense of relief only on a very temporary basis. But only in God can we really find that satisfaction. "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." The citizen of the country is the devil, and feeding the swine means to submit to the demons. The image there being that what do pigs do? They root around the earth until they find something that they can eat. And demons root around us until they find some uncleanness, some weakness that we have for a particular passion, and then they begin to feed. And the husks that are talked about refer to a particular type of a pod that people would feed pigs with that lived in that area. And this pod was used to fatten pigs up, and it had a sweetness, but it was not a very good kind of food. It was a food that some poor people would eat if they didn't have anything else to eat. But that little bit of sweetness that this pod had is somewhat like the little bit of sweetness that people experience when they have the pleasure of sin, but it's only momentary. But it doesn't really satisfy the hunger of the soul. "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." He came to himself, we're told, and that's because we were created to serve God and to worship him and to love him. And when we turn our backs on God, we are outside of what God created us to be. We are not really our proper selves. He was created in God's image, and yet he became lower than the beasts. He became lower than the pigs. The pigs were eating better than he was. But in repentance, he begins to come back to what he was created to be. "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." God didn't wait for him to come all the way. God, as soon as he saw that it turned and repented, God came to him. As we hear in the Epistle of St. James, "Draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto you." God is not looking for reasons to send us to hell. God is not some ogre who we have to reach some high standard that's unattainable. God just simply wants us to repent and to depend on him for the grace to overcome our sins. And if we'll simply do that, God is merciful. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." And he had more that he was going to say. "Make me as one of your hired servants." But his father didn't even allow him to finish. We're told, "But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. The servants represent the angels, but also they represent the clergy who serve the church and are used by God to restore sinners to salvation. The fathers tell us that the robe that the prodigal son was dressed in is the robe of righteousness, the robe that Adam had before the fall. In the baptismal service, we robe the person who's baptized, and we sing, "As many as have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ." And in baptism and in repentance, we put on Christ anew. The ring represents the soul's espousal to Christ. And the shoes that are on his feet represent the strength of will by which we are enabled to walk in the path of God's commandments. The fatted calf represents Christ. In Greek, it actually says the grain-fed calf or the grain calf. And this connects us with the grain that is made into the Eucharist. We partake of Christ in the Eucharist. Christ was slain for our salvation. Christ paid the penalty for the sins that we committed. He lived the life that we could never live, and he paid the debt that we could never pay so that we could be restored like the prodigal son. And the father said of his son that he was dead and now he's alive. When we are in sin, we are dead in sin, but we can be made alive in Christ through repentance. Now, too bad the story couldn't end right there, because that's the happy ending of the story, but unfortunately there's another part of this story. "Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dance, and he called one of the servants, and he asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should be merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. The older brother, as we mentioned, represents the righteous. In particular, Christ told this parable because he was responding to the Pharisees who were striving to live a righteous life but would look at people who were coming into repentance through the preaching of Christ and despising them. It also represents, the fathers tell us, the Jews who rejected Christ, who could not accept the fact that the church would accept the Gentiles. We can be tempted to be like the older brother when we see people who come in repentance, and we can think ourselves better than them, and that maybe things should be made more difficult for them, that they shouldn't be received with great joy by the Lord and by the church. But we should all see ourselves instead as the prodigal son, because whether in small ways or in more dramatic ways, we have all followed his path and not that of the older brother. There's none of us that can say we've never failed to keep God's commandments. We've all failed in one way or another. The message of this parable is that no matter how far we may have fallen, the Father is always ready to accept us back. And we only need to have the beginnings of repentance, and God will accept it in his mercy. Even though we've lived lower than the pigs, God is ready to clothe us with a robe of righteousness and to place a ring of salvation on our fingers and to put the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, which enable us to live out that gospel, on our feet and to allow us to partake of Christ, the grain-fed calf. This is what the journey of Lent is all about. This is what we really go through every time we prepare ourselves for the Eucharist. We're preparing ourselves to partake of that fatted calf, which is Christ. But especially as we prepare for Pascha, we dig deeper. We think about those sins that we need to repent, and we turn ourselves more fully, more completely to God so that we can be clothed with that robe of righteousness and partake of Christ, the heavenly bread. Amen.